The following broadcast originally aired on September 15th, 2021. Good afternoon. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest happenings in the dance scene. How are you doing, folks? It is always, oh, so good to sit down with you and talk about all things dance. And speaking of dance, listen, you've got to get comfortable. Get comfortable, get close to your radio, because today I am going to be sitting down with the one and only Montreal's rhythm tap queen, Ethel Bruno, is in the house. It is going to be a great hour, so stay locked in, stay tuned right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Ethel Bruno.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. Ethel Bruno is Montreal's rhythm tap queen. Born in Harlem, New York, Ethel began dancing at age 3 at the famed Mary Bruce Starbuds School of Dance. From the first ballet and tap class, Ethel showed a passion for the performing arts. She appeared on Ken Murray's Spotlight on Harlem and Carnegie Hall, and after accompanying a friend to the Cab Calloway held a poppin' audition, she was asked to audition as well. And this moment in 1953 would bring Ethel to Montreal, where she dedicated her life to transmitting the art of hoofing, also known as rhythm tap. I am so delighted to welcome to Turnout Radio, Ethel Bruno. Ethel, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, you know, I have to say, I don't think I slept last night. I don't think I slept last night because I am so excited to sit down and chat with you again. I remember the first time I had the privilege of meeting with you, I remember saying and speaking with you, I said, "Can I call you Miss Ethel?" And I remember you said, "No, call me Ethel. You can call me Ethel." And it was such a pleasure because I remember thinking, if my mama heard me calling Ethel Bruno, Ethel, she would say, "Little girl."
But I gave you the permission to call me Ethel because sometimes when they say Miss Ethel, I don't even answer. I don't adhere to it, you know, because I'm so used to Ethel, so. Okay, you know, I'm not into the grandiose of being called Miss or Mrs. And I haven't been called Mrs. in years.
I remember when you said that I should call you Ethel, one of the things that I thought was just so heartwarming is that you shared that if we can call each other by our first names, it means we are connected. Yes. We are connected in a different way. We know each other.
We know each other. Like, you know, I know my kids that I teach, I know them because they're like my grandchildren too, you know. I say all the kids are my grandchildren because they know me that way, like a grandmother and a dance teacher.
Yes.
You know, if you have a problem, come and see Ethel. It's like Grandma Ethel.
Grandma Ethel. And you go by so many beautiful names, including Miss Swing.
That was Miss Swing came when I just came to Canada, and I came up here to dance with Cab Calloway, and there was a partner in the dancing school at Mary Bruce, and she put us together, me and Nathan, and she sent us up here. And she said, well, it's going to be Mr. Swing and Ethel. And I said, oh, it is? She said, yeah, Mr. Swing and Ethel. So when he went to Vietnam, he got killed in Vietnam.
I named.
And I became Miss Swing. So everywhere I went, I was Miss Swing, you know. And nobody ever knew me by Ethel in show business because everywhere I went, I was Miss Swing, you know. So, you know, I don't know. It's just that name just followed me around. Very seldom I went in a club and it introduces me and calling me Miss Ethel or Miss whatever, but I was Miss Swing.
Miss Swing. Yeah. And it's been a beautiful journey because I know that I love hearing when you share about what that journey has looked like for you from the age of 3.
Yeah.
And the journey as it led to Ken Murray, Spotlight on Harlem, Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to a girlfriend of mine. She also went to dance in school, and she also was on television. And we're like the same age and having our problems with our walking and stuff. So she said, Ethel May. She called me Ethel May because in Harlem, I'm known as Ethel May. And everybody in Harlem knew me as Ethel May. But when I came to Montreal, I said, I'm going to be Miss Swing. So that's what I became, Miss Swing. And I did Prince shows. I did a lot of Prince shows. And when I went on those shows, I was Miss Swing, you know? So, and when I opened the dance school, I became Ethel Bruno. You know, the kids didn't know me by Miss Swing. They knew me by Ethel. So that's what I kept, Ethel, you know. But as far as Miss Swing goes, that's all when I work with all the clubs across Montreal and around Canada. I mean, I've been all across Canada. I love Canada. I just love it. People say, how can... You like Canada, how could you stay there? You don't speak French. I said, listen, nothing stops you when you want to do something.
Mm.
Like my granddaughter, she takes care of me. She's a nurse, and she takes care of me. And we were talking just today, and she was saying, Nanny, you know what? I'm gonna move to Toronto. I think she wants to come. I said, that's fine. But, because... That's too hard. I cannot live in Montreal because it's too hard. People were not nice. I said, you know what? If you're running away from everything, you never get anything.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what? Why are you running away? You speak French. She said, well, people are prejudiced and they do this and they do that. So I said, you don't let none of that stop you. If you want to climb to the four walls, you will get to the four walls. Hmm. You don't let nothing stop you. I said, I've been around, I taught French people, but I couldn't speak one word. All I knew how to do was count un, deux, trois, quatre. That's what kept me going. Trois, quatre. When French kids came in and they couldn't speak a word of English, I said, how do you say it? And then I would repeat it, you know? So I think I was telling her, you're a good nurse. You don't have to run away from Montreal because, it's going to be better on the other side. Well, I got news for you. It's not always better on the other side. We all have to go through what we go through to get to the top of the mountain, like Martin Luther King said, you know? So you have to... put yourself there. And I didn't care whether I spoke French or not. I went up to Val d'Or. I went to Seven Islands. I went to Sept-Îles. People spoke French and whatever they were saying, I was going, oh, oui, baby.
Well, I remember growing up in my dance studio in Burlington one of the things that I learned at a very early age was that we don't have to speak the same language. If we don't speak the same language, dance will do the communicating for us.
Yeah. Dance will just, then you can communicate your whole life in dance. That's one thing that I loved about watching dancers like Gene Kelly, Fred Astaire, Gregory Hines, some of the, it's, we talk to each other with our feet. You know, I tell people, you want to come to my school? Come on in. The door is open. You know, you don't have to speak the same language. My husband, when I met him, he didn't speak a word of English. And I definitely didn't speak a word of French. He would say things like, oh, you're so vivacious, or you're so beautiful. But he said, oh, somebody said, are you married to Miss Swing? Oh, we say, ooh, la, 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 la. That was his thing. Ooh, la, she's ooh, la, 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 la.
Yes.
If they don't understand that, they don't understand. And I laugh because we were on the show, the Never Ending Referendum. I don't know if you saw that one. It was made by two filmmakers in Toronto. But my husband, Ethel, she's beautiful. Ethel, she's a great lady. That's the way he would talk about me to other people. And everybody loved it. You know, I love it. I loved it. And so, you know, I think you don't have to run away from something because you don't understand it. Because sooner or later you learn it. Because none of my grandkids spoke French. My daughter didn't speak French. I put her in French school. I went into a French neighborhood to live because I wanted my children, my son and my daughter, to learn how to communicate with everybody. You know, and when they were little, Susie, she spoke French since she's 2 years old. And JP, at first he was like, you know, guys, I don't want to see French. I said, listen, where are you going? Mm. You got somewhere to go? He said, no. Well, you better get in those books and pick up that French and learn it.
And start learning.
And he now his job is in French. It's easy too, you know?
Yes.
You know, so I think we would get along so good if we weren't busy trying to learn how to run out. Because this made her think today. She's like, you know what? Man, you're right. You know, I said, look, you know, you're a beautiful girl. She's got a beautiful baby. Oh, I'm going to take my son and run to Toronto. So you think they don't have no problems over there? You think Toronto's, they don't have problems? They got problems everywhere.
You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. One of the many things that has excited me about your journey is hearing you say that you are a preacher. You are a preacher of tap, that you give it to your disciples, that you go out and you spread the gospel.
I spread the gospel. I have my disciples. Like Travis is my disciple. Anna's my disciple. Justin is my, and of course, Kim is my disciple, and Kim and I have been together for over almost 50 years. She has been my side-by-side sister, and she has been with me through thick and thin. And she is the kind of person that sits down, I'll make up a step, she'll type it out. So I find that I can call her up and say, Kim, do you remember so-and-so? Yes, I do. And she'll be there. And she teaches right, she was teaching right beside me because she had her class. She started teaching, but she told me one day, I want to be a teacher. I said, well, she said, I don't have anywhere to go. And I said, yes, you do. You got the studio. The studio is your home. So if you need the keys to get in there and go and teach, go teach. So she's been with me ever since. And whatever I have to do, Kim is there. Kim is, I call her Reverend too, because she's right beside me, right behind me. But I like to teach the gospel of tap. I teach the gospel of tap. I believe that when you're tapping, there's nothing makes you feel better than tap dance. Mm. I'll tell you, I went in the hospital with this leg, and I don't know what it is, and they don't know. But I told them, listen, whatever, I'm going to be tapping. I'm tapping with my head. I don't need to stand up and teach. I'm tapping with my feet. It's right here. It's in my heart, you know? And that's how I feel about tap dancing. You know, 2011, I went in just for a checkup. And they told me, well, we have to operate on your heart because there's something there. Okay. So when I was going in the hospital, my heart doctor was my student for 25 years, him and his wife. And he's the one that operated on me. And while we were waiting to go into the, he was like, Ethel, what's that step, you know, that we do? He said, oh, it's one of my favorite routines. And oh, I said, oh, that's Gene Nelson special. He said, well, we're going to write that one down so you know that routine forever. And when I go to his office now, he doesn't dance anymore because his knees are so bad. Mm-hmm. And me, I'm hobbling around. But when I walk in there, he says to me, Ethel, if you put that routine back together, I'll be back in dancing school. You know, it's just these kind of things that make me feel so good. You know, I told him, listen, I might be in this bed now, but I'm going to be up walking around in a week. And I walked, I got up, and the nurses would come, what are you doing? I said, because I'm on a dance.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
It's the same thing now, you know.
Are you led by the Spirit when you move?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The Spirit gets me. The other day, I was watching the, what do you call it, channel? I can't remember what the channel, but they have all the tap dances on there. I stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning. I was awake to watch all the taps. And then the other night, I was laying in the bed, and another channel came on that I don't know, but my son put it on for me. He said, Mom, you gotta watch this. I said, oh my Lord, this Crip Heard is in the army. And he lost one leg in the army. And they put him on, and he was amazing. And I said, people, this is what, people don't see this. They need to see this. They need to see Peg Leg Bates, who's dancing on one leg. He's been on Ed Sullivan, who's done all these things. And I'm just like, wow. You know, look at them. And these men are 80s and 90s, and I don't know if you've seen Gregory Hines' Tap Dance in America.
Oh, I have.
The only time you see me sitting up in the bed crying is when they all the guys are on, when they just all come on, and they're all tap dancing.
Well, one of the things that we shared in a previous conversation was You had said that you feel like many of us don't know who came before us.
No, you don't. Mm-hmm. Not saying not you personally, but I go around the dances groups. I give little speeches about people that, and I asked, I went to a school, I was invited to a school in Brockville. I was invited to another school in Boston to give a workshop. And I sat the kids down and I said to them, who was the first tap dancer that you saw? Not one of them could tell me. Not one of them. I said, okay, so do you know who Shirley Temple is? No. Do you know who Bill Robinson is? No. They just don't know, because I find that kids who go to dance school, they go, but nobody's taught them history. So they don't have a history. They just, it's like, oh, yeah, I heard them, but I don't know. So I stopped them right there. Okay, we're going to sit down. Now it's class time. And I'm bringing all the books, all the people. I'm saying, do you know so? Do you know who Eleanor Paul is? No. So you're learning something that you know nothing about. I think you have to know what you're talking about and who you're teaching about.
We should be talking about the history.
Yeah, because when you're talking about ballet, I studied ballet too, but I love ballet. I used to get books out the library. My mother used to say, don't you do it in that library. I said, no, I want to know about ballet. I want to know about Brigitte. I want to know about Balanchine. You know, I want to know about these people. Also, modern dance. I want to know who Martha Graham is. I want to know who Catherine Dunham is. And people, you know, people do... So modern, they don't know who these people are. There was one lady this was the lady who brought ballet jazz to Montreal. Her name was Eva Vanjinsky. And the book wrote about her too at the same time they were writing about me. And Eva taught all over the world. Eva came from Kiev. And she went to New York and she studied with a gentleman in New York, Luigi. And all this stuff that you're doing in ballet, up and down, because that came from Luigi. Taught it to her. She brought it back to Montreal and started teaching it. And when we went to University of Montreal one day, somebody asked me, and she was sitting right next to me, Ethel, who brought ballet jazz to Montreal? And she even looked at me and I looked at her. I said, you're looking at the lady that brought it to Montreal. But they didn't know. Mm-hmm. They take it, they go 3-4 classes a week. But who's Eva Vanjinsky? She's Miss Ballet Jazz of Montreal. And they don't know.
What comes to mind when you think about Gregory Hines?
Every day I watch him, because he's still there. People can still learn from him now. He's still working with him. And that's amazing. It's like watching Natalie Cole sing with her dad.
I know when we were chatting prior to today's interview, I found it really interesting that we were talking about the ballet aesthetic, we were talking about tap, And you made reference to, you shared that it's ballet, ballet, ballet. And I hear you when you say that, because when I think about my own journey, we learned history when it came to ballet.
Oh, yeah.
We learned, but in comparison, we learned history when it came to tap. But the comparison, there was a greater focus.
Yes.
On ballet. There was a greater focus.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little something. I have a friend named George. He's a teacher. And I said to George one day, George, I don't have money to, I want to put on a big tap festival and I don't have the money. So George said, well, you know what, Ethel, let's sit down and see what we can do. So I've been putting on the Starburst show since 1983, right up until now, 2017. And they will give money for dance, you know? So he said, well, you know what, I'll make out a letter to them for you, because you would like to get some money to bring Tap Festival to Montreal. And they wrote, they've been coming to see my show. They love the show. Travis was little. And they said, oh, well, oh, the tap is so good. And what you do is really good. And the things you're doing for the kids. But we have a little bit of money, but we have to give it to ballet. And this went on for years. Every year, they were sending me back a letter. Ethel, this is good, but you gotta give it. We have to give it to ballet. And they had certain schools that they gave money to. So I said, okay, if they can't give me the money, I'm gonna raise the money. So I would raise the money every year. I would go to drugstores. I was going to fruit markets. I was going in there with my, telling them what I do, and that somebody would give me a check for things that I was doing with the kids. And I thought to myself, what is it that tap doesn't have? And one day I went to the Canada Council, that's what it, and I asked them, you know, Ethel, tap is fun. It's fun. There's no technique. Well, then I blew up. I said, excuse me? There's just as much technique in tap dancing. You got to learn the name of the steps. You got to learn how to do them properly. What does ballet got? The same thing. And you're telling me that ballet is, oh, it's because it's more people go and see it. Well, of course they go see it. They got money coming in. They got all these companies got money going in. And I said, that's not going to stop me because I'm still going to put on the show. So I went around and I have a few people in the school that have money. They said, Ethel, what do you want to do? I said, I want to put on my first, that was in 1999. I said, I want to put on my first tap test. So I got some of the mothers together. We had a meeting. We drew up a worksheet. I started to invite some of the parents that were lawyers and doctors that were in my school, had a meeting with them. And Valerie was the one of the main people. She was in insurance. She said, Ethel, come to my house every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, I was at her house in the West Island. And we would sit there. She wrote up the program. She wrote up how I wanted to do it. And we took the dance magazine, and we were in the dance magazine, and we wrote, went through all the pages. We found dancing schools. We sent every dancing school, Toronto, all of them, Ottawa, everywhere, about these things. So I told them, this is a tap dance festival. And I think she sent out 2,000 or something like that. And she sent it out. And when she sent it out, she put on the technique that I was teaching. And this is where rhythm tap comes from. And this is where you will learn about rhythm. And my first tap festival, 1999, was at the Montreal West Town Hall. I invited up all the big tap dancers from the States. Arthur Duncan came, Manhattan Tap came, Lady Diane Walker came. I mean, it was, I never thought I could do it, but I said, I'm gonna try. If I fail, I fail on my own. But I didn't fail. They came, and people in the school donated money to it. It was so good. I did a second one. That was 1999. I did a second one in 2000 in Montreal. I said to Valerie, we don't have a name or nothing. It's just, you know, Ethel Bruno in the cup. I said, I don't want it to be that. I would like to have what we call the TAP initiative. And she said, yeah, let's do it. So I rented the Airport Hilton. And Kim said, well, where are you going to get the money? I said, I don't know. I'm just going to go and get the money, you know. And I opened a bank account, and I took half of my paycheck and put it in the bank. I put almost $1,000 in the bank. And then I went to the Airport Hilton, and I rented the airport. And the second year, that it was even bigger.
You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I love the way, Ethel, you have shared that it feels very much like a community. Yes. If you don't have it, if you don't have the money, let's figure it out. Yeah. If you don't have a way to get to class, let's figure it out. Let's do this because it's about community.
Yeah, and I remember there was a young gentleman that came, young boy. His father's a diplomat. I don't remember the name, but she came in. Wherever they go, they put their kids in dancing school. And she said, Ethel, I went to this dancer school. I was horrified. She said, the lady told me, you have to pay $1,000 to come to this dancing school. And I said, a tap would cost $1,000. I said, well, I don't know nothing about that, but I do know you can come in here and it won't cost you. You pay $8 for your class and that's it.
So when you teach, Ethel, you said that you preach the original tradition.
I teach Mary Bruce, because Mary Bruce was famous. It's another Black lady that took us to Carnegie Hall, because they never had Black kids in Carnegie Hall. Mary, and then Ken Murray came up from CBS, put us all on television. And she took us everywhere. And she's the one that taught me how to teach. And she never turned anybody away. And she always said, Ethel, if you're going to teach, just because somebody doesn't have money doesn't mean they can't learn to dance. And I always remember, you don't have the money? Well, I'll tell you what, come in the class. We'll figure it out later.
Do you think that we're missing that right now in this moment? Do you think that we are missing that way of thinking within our classroom spaces? Are we missing that?
Yes, because I know in the dance world, When people come to class, they can't come in your school if they don't have a $500 costume. They can't come in your school if they're not light enough. And then I was talking to one girl who came to my school 3 years ago. She came 3 years ago, and she was crying when she came in. And she said, "Could I come and dance and try your class?" I said, "Sure." She came and started dancing, and then she ran out. I said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "You're the first person that let me come in your class without telling me you have to pay."
Why do you do it?
Because I love it. I said, "Tap." I would come home from school, eat, and go to dancing school, spend my whole day in dancing school. I love tap.
Be here soon, and we are excited. The Dance Collection Dance Hall of Fame event is honoring you and celebrating your dynamic, lifelong contribution to dance. And we are so excited to know that you are one of the many wonderful 2021 inductees. How do you feel? How does this moment feel for you?
Oh, what God left me here for a reason. Things happen. And I said, "Oh, well, the COVID has happened. I don't know when or will I be here to be inducted in, or maybe they'll ask my granddaughter to do it." But I'm just so excited. You know, I'm like, oh, even if I live it for a week, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to enjoy myself.
Yes, yes. Amen to that. You know? We're so excited as well to see you. And when you come, you're also going to be bringing some joy with you as well.
Happy feeling. I feel happy that I contribute something, you know, that I contribute something to dance, you know, that tap dance, because these kids go to, they've tapped in their schools. I've taught in their schools. I've taught the Black History tap in the schools. My daughter's taught it in the schools. We try to spread it around, but I'm really happy about it, because I never thought I'm going to the Hall of Fame. I didn't think about that. I was just like, wow, that sounds good.
Well, you've been a blessing. You have been a blessing to so many lives, to the dance. Yeah. You have been a blessing. And I'm so grateful for this moment to have had this opportunity to sit down with you. I want to thank you so much for sharing with me so graciously and so generously sharing with me, Ethel. And I look forward to seeing you very soon.
Like you said, I got to keep myself in good condition here. I got to go to Toronto. But you know what? If you believe in God, God has plans for everybody. And I believe that's his plan for me, because I could have been gone. I think that God's blessed all of us. Mm. Well, he's really blessed us. I'm so proud, you know, that he put us together and blessed us, and we're just, you know, we just want to keep going. I wanted to keep going, but I said, you know what? I'll find a way.
Well, my heart is so full. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad God let me, I'm glad God let me be here this long to be able to share with you.
And that was the great Ethel Bruno. What a joy to sit down with her this morning. Ethel, one of many inducted into the Dance Collection Dance Hall of Fame. The Dance Collection Dance Hall of Fame event honors and celebrates dynamic, lifelong contributions to dance in Canada by some remarkable individuals. And that's it for today's show. Thank you again to Ethel Bruno for taking the time to sit down and share with me. Today, you are listening to the sweet sounds of the Oscar Peterson Trio. And today's technical production is facilitated by Amber Downey-Beck. Don't miss a beat, folks. Check out our past shows at turnoutradio.com and tune in next week for more of the show at 2 p.m. EST right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.